For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Hard times
like that. Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into here on a Friday before we head into the weekend. Let's welcome in Grant Mona. Grant, how are you?
Doing well, Arash, ready for a longer weekend this time. Yeah. We get a Memorial Day on Monday, so it'll be a fun weekend.
It should be. Listen, we talked during this playoffs and even going back to the first round that the Celtics have perhaps the easiest pathway to the finals that we've seen in quite some time. Not just the teams, but players going down, players being hurt before they play them. You know, Jimmy Butler not being healthy for the Miami Heat. And now Tyrese Halliburton is hurt. And he, listen, I think if he toughs it out, Grant, which he probably will, I mean, the hamstring, I think whether it's a strained hamstring or whatever it is, it's the same thing that happened to him that caused him to miss 10 games. So, you know, he's not going to be 100% healthy. The Celtics found a way to win game one. Game two was not close. And then this series could be done. We really perhaps having a cakewalk to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I think the Celtics, I mean, I said the Celtics were going to make the finals, and I thought they would beat the Pacers in six. Arash, if you remember when I was talking about game one, and I said, you know, this game that they lost, like, it's such a gut punch, like, initially, but that's the game you got to steal. Like, if you're going to be competitive in that series, you got to steal one in the first two. And, you know, after game one, I thought that the Celtics would adjust. They did. Jaylen Brown went off. Even though Jason Tatum hasn't really been that good so far in these first two games, I mean, he was good in the overtime period in game one. But other than that, I mean, he really hasn't been spectacular like the Jason Tatum that we saw in the regular season. Yeah. But with Jaylen Brown playing the way that he is, I mean, he looks like the best player on the team. And, you know, there's a lot of concern from my point of view for the Celtics without Kristaps Porzingis, just because, you know, Miles Turner can be that type of all-star player, that rim protector, that guy that can stretch the floor to match Kristaps Porzingis. But, you know, so far, I mean, in game one, he had a great game. Game two, he was kind of a non-factor. And when the Celtics are shooting like that, and when Derek White has the amount of points that he had, you don't even really need Tatum to be the guy. You don't really need him to take over a game, especially with the way Jaylen Brown is getting into the paint, the way he is shooting. He's being ultra aggressive. His defense is very good. There was a little bit of a scare with his wrist injury. But, you know, other than that, it was a complete effort for Boston. And now for Indiana, you know, there's serious concern, not just with, you know, them being down 0-2, but with Tyrese Halliburton being injured. Like you mentioned, hamstring injuries, it's the one that he had to be carried off the floor on earlier in the year, where I thought that it could be a season ender. And he came back pretty early, and he really didn't look the same after that hamstring injury until probably last series. So if he is hampered in any ways, especially compared to what we saw him in the first round, what we saw him down the stretch in the regular season, if he's anything like that, I give the Pacers no chance. I mean, there is a reason I picked them to be a better competition to the Celtics than the Knicks. It's because they are actually healthy. And now if you lose your first, maybe second best player the way Pascal Siakam's playing, they really have no chance. And, you know, I said Pacers would win a few. I don't expect them to go out quietly. Like, it's even if Tyrese Halliburton's on the court, I expect them to at least get one game. But at this point, I think that the Pacers pushing this to seven is probably out of the window. pushing it to six is, like, again, really pushing it. I don't think that it could get there just because of how I've seen the Celtics ratchet it up offensively at times. So it sucks so much because I thought that this could be a better series. And look, it still very well could be. I'm very doom and gloom about the Pacers right now. But if we're just looking at what has happened so far, the Celtics adjusted and looked like the best team in the NBA in game two. So while Indiana will be at home for games three and four, if they don't have Tyrese Halliburton or if he's at 50 to 75%, I don't give them much of a shot at all in this series, even to push it to six.
Switching gears to the West. Listen, I think the first two games of these conference finals have been fantastic. Minnesota loses game one at home. Obviously, kind of a must-win game. I mean, you don't want to drop the first two at home. Your thoughts on that series?
Yeah, you know, Luka and Kyrie played the games of their lives together. I feel like that was probably one of their best efforts together in the backcourt that we've seen. And for Minnesota, I was talking to a lot of people about this. Minnesota looked like the team that I thought that we were going to get in the playoffs. So my concern with Minnesota during the regular season was their fourth quarter offense. And it was a very bad fourth quarter offense. They were not good in clutch time. They were really bad in the fourth with knowing who to give the ball to, knowing where to go, what the game plan is. And that's exactly what we saw in game one. And I don't know why that is, because in the Denver series, they had some really good fourth quarter moments. They really knew what to do against Denver. Maybe it's just the fact that, you know, they played Denver for so long. I felt like they were playing Denver for a month straight. So, you know, you got to kind of tweak your game plan and kind of feel it out. I always think of game one as a feel out game. Yeah. And then we can kind of adjust from there. So while Minnesota did lose, they were in the game for almost the entirety of the game. I mean, it wasn't like they were getting blown out. It wasn't like they didn't know what to do in the first, second, or third quarter. They had a game plan. It's just that, you know, in the fourth quarter, the Mavericks switched a few things up. They played on the perimeter a lot more. Obviously, Derek Lively's not a good free throw shooter, so he can't go into the paint a lot. But the Mavericks kind of dissected that Minnesota defense, and it looked like Minnesota had no answer for what Luka was doing. And that's kind of surprising, because I thought that Jaden McDaniels could be a factor on him. And I know that he's thinner, but I feel like his length would have caused problems for him. I thought that maybe Nickeil Alexander-Walker could give him issues. He really didn't. So if Luka's going to have his way in the series, I may have to give the Mavericks a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, because I was just going based off what I've seen in the past, in the past round, right? Luka did not look the same. He did not look like the same guy. And if he's going to look like this, and if Kyrie is going to come out and play like that, especially in the first half, his first halves across the playoffs have been terrible. He had a fantastic first half in game one. I expect the Wolves, though, Arash, to win this game too. They are very good with their backs against the wall. They are very good when they're facing adversity. Anthony Edwards didn't have that great of a game. Karl Anthony Towns didn't have that great of a game. I expect them to bounce back here in game two. This series, I mean, I know I said Wolves in six. It looks like it's shaping up to be a seven gamer. And with the way the Pacers-Celtics series is going, Arash, I think we need that. I think we need a seven game conference final.
Yeah, we definitely don't want to have two series to finish up early. I think game one of the finals, like, they normally already come out with the schedule. So, like, we don't want to have a week where we don't have games. You have a story on the Sporting Tribune about the Dodgers losing their last two games with their homestand, and now they are on the road, six-game road trip here, where they begin in Cincinnati. Again, no cause for concern just because you lose a couple of games. But your thoughts as this team now heads on the road for the next six?
Yeah, it's a very crucial six-game road trip. And it's, you know, you're not playing competitive teams in terms of contenders. You're playing the Mets and the Reds. So it's not like you're going to be going up against a gauntlet. But it's very important for the Dodgers to get back on track. Their starting pitching, Gavin Stone and Tyler Glasnow, did look that good. Tyler Glasnow has been a little bit up and down. His command has been a little bit off. While he does still have like a 3.09 ERA, that's kind of higher than I thought that he would be this year. I think he would have been around 2.25, 2.5. And obviously there's a lot of game left and there's a lot of season left for them to get back into it and for Tyler Glasnow to kind of get back into the flow of things, kind of figure things out in his command. But for the Dodgers, you have Paxton going in game one against Cincinnati. He hasn't lost this year. He's 5-0. He's been one of the most underrated signings in baseball. He has an under 3 ERA, a really good win-loss record. He is getting kind of deep into games, too. He's going six innings, giving the bullpen a little bit of a relief. And I did not expect that from James Paxton so far this year. I thought he would be like a 3-5 ERA guy, maybe give you four or five innings like we see with Ryan Yarbrough. But he has been really good. So it's good that you get off to a good note in game one. The offense has been struggling. I mentioned this in the article. The offense has been pretty bad. Even with Shohei Ohtani doing as good as he is, I went through the month of May batting averages for a lot of the Dodger players. Mookie Betts is hitting .267 in May. Teoscar Hernandez is hitting .230. Like, a lot of the numbers that you'll see from the offense in the entirety of the month of May are not really ideal. And that's a big part of why they're not doing well. The pitching, the bullpen has been really solid up until the last few games. But that offense, for whatever reason, is just not getting it done. Even the stars, you know, obviously besides Shohei Ohtani, we know how good he is. But outside of him, it really hasn't been an excellent effort. Even Andy Páez, who, you know, we all liked and everyone thought that he could be a kind of a phenom, he is really struggling at the plate. He looks lost. They've tried guys like Miguel Vargas, and he's still up, but he really hasn't gotten off to a great start. So I think that the issue with the Dodgers right now is just it's so top heavy, and you're going to go through stretches like this. Like, it's a long season. You're not going to be excellent all the time, but it's a bit concerning when it's over the entirety of a month that you see some of these guys struggling. And Max Muncy's on the injured list, but before he went on the injured list, he wasn't doing very well either. So I think this can be a bounce back series, this one against the Reds. They just took three out of four against the Cincinnati Reds at home. So these two teams, these are the teams where you can go on a 5-1 road trip, where you can go even maybe a 6-0 road trip. I think that would be ideal. And then that would give them confidence coming back home after that.
We have some people talking about the draft already in the NBA. There was a story that I thought was very interesting. And I know that people like to make long shot wagers because why the heck not? But the number of wagers being placed on Bronny James being the first overall pick in the draft is just so, in my mind, ridiculous. But and again, we'll talk about this next segment with Brandon. But why do you think so many bets are being placed on Bronny James going first overall?
It has to be fake, right? And it's real, but it has to be fake. Like, there's no way anyone in their right mind thinks that's going to happen, because we know how good Alex Saar is. We know how good Bucelis is. We know how good a lot of these international players that are coming over into the draft this year. I think that's what's going to dominate this draft, is a lot of international players and guys that you don't really know, or you don't really know their names, and they're going to kind of make an impact. Topic is another guy. So I don't understand why Bronny is getting the number one love. Like, there hasn't even been a rumor of like, hey, this team's interested in taking him number two or three or four or anything in the top 10. Like, maybe if you were to tell me that last year or like 2 years ago, even, like, I'd be like, okay, maybe he can turn into that. But now, like, he's being projected at the earliest middle of the first round. And then after that, it's probably like late first, early second round. Mm-hmm. So, but there is another, picture going around social media, Rosh, of Bronny James in a Celtics uniform if they dropped him in the second round. And I know, listen, LeBron James has made it very, very clear that he does not like the Boston Celtics. No. If the Boston Celtics draft his son, I know that he's going to say, turn that down. Turn that down right now. Don't go to that. We'll sign you as an undrafted free agent. So it was just so weird because, you know, you usually don't see a lot of hype for some of these second round guys. But since it's Bronny James, I mean, obviously we're going to pay a lot more attention to him. And I just think that the like middle second round, late second round is kind of disrespectful. Like this guy is, he can be a really good connector piece. He can be a really good spark off the bench. He still has great bounce. He really had a great vertical at the combine. So I think we're kind of disrespecting Bronny in a way. I know that he didn't have great stats at USC, but I mean, he's kind of a product of the system and what they were trying to do there. And he's coming off of a heart issue. So I think he's a really good connector player. He's not going to be a superstar, but some of these like late second round or like undrafted, I don't agree with that because I think he can be a good NBA player.
He will get drafted, but yeah, you're 100% right. And I think we sometimes veer into the, okay, he's getting this opportunity because he's LeBron James' son. But if we really were to like look at him, there's no doubt that he would be drafted. And so sometimes you kind of veer back into the, hey, are we disrespecting him because he's like LeBron James' son? So it's a little bit of both. And I wanted to put some stats behind what I said. At FanDuel, Bronny James has attracted 30% of the tickets to be selected first overall. Again, those are 200-1 odds. So, you know, perhaps something's going to happen or, you know, a team believes that if they select Bronny, that they can get LeBron. It's wild. By the way, Grant, like he's walked that back. And not only has he walked that back, I think Maverick Carter and Rich Paul have also kind of like confirmed that he would like to share the court with his son. He would like to, you know, play against him. Like the idea that they have to be teammates, it is not a priority for LeBron James. And in fact, like at some point in time, he has to admit, and Bronny was, this came up when the media talked to him, it creates an uncomfortable scenario where like your dad is your teammate during your rookie year. Like he would love to go head to head with his dad. Like that's going to be such an amazing moment and picture. But like, I don't think they necessarily have to be teammates.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think we were just hanging on to the sentiment that it was like 2 years ago. Like obviously yeah. It was like all the stir, like, oh, I want to play with my son. He's walked it back not just once, but like many times. He said, like, I just want to be on the court with my son. I don't care about going to Charlotte if they draft him and playing in Charlotte. Like, that was never, in my opinion, a realistic possibility. Like, maybe if the Lakers would have won a title last year or maybe the year before that, I could maybe see it. But at this point in LeBron's career, I mean, he's going to go to a contender even if he's not on the Lakers. I don't see him going to a bad team. Like, if the Utah Jazz draft Bronny, he's not going to play in Utah. It's just not going to happen. So yeah. I do agree with you in the sense that like that is out of the window. Like that's out the window. Where he's not going to play on the same team. And like you mentioned, it's a big point that like if I was a rookie coming into the league, I would not want to play with my father. I wouldn't want my father to be on the same team. So I agree with you there.
Another thing that folks will be talking about as we go into the weekend, the NBA media rights deal. It does seem like it's trending in the direction of Turner Sports not being a part of it. Charles Barkley went on the Dan Patrick Show and really went hard at his employer. And you can do that when you're basically going into a lame duck season where, again, Turner will have the league next season, but if you were to believe the reports, and there's no reason not to, that the next season will be the last year where the league will now go back to NBC. Grant, I still think that in this new world of like Pat McAfee controlling his own show, like I think this is like a great opportunity for Charles, Shaq, Kenny, and Ernie to own that show, continue to, you know, continue to do the show. And that, listen, that's if they want to. But your thoughts, as it definitely seems like Turner fumbled the bag here.
Yeah, they absolutely did. And we can't live without Inside the NBA.
Right?
We just can't. If these guys decide to retire, fine. But if Shaq, Kenny, and Chuck go somewhere else and Ernie stays at TNT, because those are the reports right now, is that Ernie does not want to leave TNT. Like, he is loyal to them. He's been there for a ton of time, and he's won Emmys. He just won another sports Emmy, by the way. So congrats to him on that. But if he stays, I mean, he's basically the engine. Like, he's the guy that makes that whole thing go. So, like, you know, if you have just, I mean, obviously it'd be funny to have Kenny, Chuck, and Shaq by themselves with somebody else, but they have to find a way to license this out. Yeah. They have to find a way, even if it's not with Turner. Like, say, you know, Amazon licenses it out and they just do it on Amazon, because Amazon's going to be a big player in this too. I don't think that they'd go to NBC. I just think that that would be, I just don't see that. But if there's a streaming service that would take them on, and like you mentioned, have them have their own show maybe once a week, have it be on a Thursday or a Tuesday or whenever it may be. Because I don't see him going to a network. I don't see them going to an ESPN. I see them going to an NBC. So if they do keep this thing together, I would like to see it on streaming. And I think that it could happen. Like, there's a lot of people that are like doom and gloom about it, but there's also like very prominent people in the media that are talking about, like, it's not going anywhere. It's just going to be rebranded, or like somebody's going to buy it and license it out. So I'm really not too concerned, because I think that they'll still stay together. I mean, everyone loves Inside the NBA, like everybody. So there's some people I know, Arash, that don't watch the game that TNT has, but they'll watch Inside after the game.
Yeah.
So it's that prominent. The NBA would be losing a big part of what keeps fans engaged, because fans love Inside the NBA and that whole crew. So they need to find a way to get this done. They have to.
Yeah, and it's such a great point. Like, that show would work on a streamer, and I think fans would definitely gravitate towards the show. There's no reason why they, you know, you can do Turner and also do the show. So hopefully they figure it out. Again, we are in a brand new wild and crazy world in sports media, where you can do basically anything you want to do. Grant, you're the best. Have an amazing weekend. We'll leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll talk to Brandon Deutsch about the NBA draft and where will Bronny James go when we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas, on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still climb with the underground
when we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 716 Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. Let's welcome into the program from the Sporting Tribune, Brandon Deutsch. Brandon, how are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. You know, excited for Memorial Day weekend, and one of the best weekends of the year, I feel like. It's, you know, baseball. Yeah. It's a very, you know, the start of summer, and we see the Eastern Western Conference Finals games, all that. And you know, and then we start approaching the NBA draft. So it's a lot of great things going on in the sports world. Hockey too, but me, I'm not big. I'm not huge into hockey, but I do want to see the Oilers win. I want to see McDavid get a Stanley Cup. So I'm hoping they can. Dallas is good though, and we'll see. The other, Florida is really good as well.
By the way, a Canadian team has not won the Stanley Cup since the Montreal Canadiens defeated the Los Angeles Kings, you know, way back in 1993,
Wild, right? Because they're the best in the world at it. Aren't Canadians the best in the world exactly. at hockey, right? So that, really weird, but Yeah.
Okay, so you mentioned the draft. It's a perfect segue because we touched on it in the last segment. But a fun story. There's no truth behind it. But, I mean, listen, there is truth behind people placing wagers thinking something crazy might happen. At FanDuel, Bronny James has attracted 30% of tickets to be selected first overall by the Atlanta Hawks, the most of any player at the sportsbook. You know, these are 200 to 1 odds. And again, you do an amazing job of tracking the draft. Your mock drafts will be coming out like as we approach the draft. Why would someone, I mean, throw money away? I mean, what are the chances that Bronny James goes first overall?
I personally think zero, but I think these bettors are thinking the slim chance that the Hawks want LeBron. And they're like, okay, we want, like, maybe they have a backdoor deal, even though it's tampering with LeBron, that some people are maybe thinking this, that, oh, Bronny might go on. It's not going to happen. It's going to be Sarr from France is going to be the number one pick. Bronny, though, I mean, he had a really good workout. I have always been adamant about saying he's going to be a way better NBA player than he was a college player. His game fits the NBA, that championship role player type thing. Defense, great on-ball defender, makes all the right plays on the court. I want to see him become a little bit better of a shooter, but he shot 19 out of 25 in the shooting drills at the Combine, played really well, tested really well. The only problem is, Arash, is he's 6'1". Yeah. If he was 6'6", he'd be a top 10 to 15 pick in this draft, and there'd be no question about it. But he's 6'1", right? Like, so that limits him a little bit to the Davion Mitchell range, a guy that's really an eighth or ninth man on a playoff team but can provide minutes. Again, I'm not opposed to the Lakers taking a chance on him trading up maybe at the beginning of the second round to get him, or at the late first. 17's a little high. I don't think anybody's going to go, you know, 17 for Bronny. But I think the 30s are where he's going to go when it gets to draft day. I think 20s are not out of the realm. I think anywhere from 1 to 20 is out of the realm for Bronny James personally. But I think, you know, as we approach the draft, this is a guy that's going to rise at the end of the first round, simply because contenders want guys like that can contribute.
The Lakers are the favorite, according to DraftKings and Bet MGM. That makes sense. But to your point, 17 is probably too high. The Lakers, I could totally see them selecting him with a second round pick. What do you think would surprise you? Again, like if he went in, when I say the top 17, if the Lakers picked him at 17, or if a team ahead of the Lakers, say he goes in the top 20, would that surprise you?
It would. Sure. He's just not, it's a weak class, but because he's 6'1", Arash, it's so hard for teams to like look at a guy like that. He's not positionalist, right? Like he has to play point guard.
Yeah.
He can't play the two at 6'1". So when you limit him to one position and a guy that's really not that big, can he go and defend a three at the NBA level? No, he can only defend guards because he's 6'1", probably not even the shooting guard, probably has to defend opposing point guards because he's so small. Now, maybe when he gains weight, he can guard the two, perhaps the three, although that's a stretch because threes nowadays in the NBA are 6'6 to 6'10, right? Like anywhere between that. It would shock me unless someone thinks they're, and especially with every, like, we know LeBron's going to re-sign with the Lakers. He's going to sign it. Everyone knows that. I mean, LeBron tried to say after reports, oh, he's going to sign an extension. Oh, I don't, no one knows about my future, but me, come on. Like, everybody knows he's signing an extension with the Lakers. That's where he's going to make the most money. His business is here. Rich Paul is here. Clutch is here. Everybody is here. Mav Carter's doing movies and TV shows here. Like, and teams know that he's going to do that. So there's no point in them drafting Bronny, right? Like, he's not going to go play with Bronny if the Lakers don't draft.
Well, it's a great point, and we touched on this in the previous segment. I mean, there was a time 2 years ago where I think, whether LeBron James meant it or not, but there was this feeling that LeBron James wanted to play with his son. He wanted to be on the same team with his son. And like, LeBron would really feed into that by reposting things about Bronny, you know, going to the Hawks or going somewhere. And he's really walked that back to the point where he's like, I just want to share the court with him. Whether we go up head to head against each other, again, it's not a priority, to your point. Like, everything's pointing in the direction of the Lakers bringing LeBron James back and him retiring with them. This idea, by the way, that LeBron doesn't have a little bit of, if they hired J.J. Redick to be their next coach, the idea that LeBron James had nothing to do with that, they're hosting a podcast together. They're drinking wine like every week together. This idea that like LeBron wouldn't be a part of that conversation is ridiculous. But Brandon, I think if LeBron had said, I am going to do my best, or this is a priority for me to be teammates with my son, Bronny James could theoretically be the first pick in the draft. Why? Because if there's this feeling that it was a package deal, that would make sense. Yeah. If that's not the case, to your point, he shouldn't be a first round pick.
100%. Now, I do like, at the end of the day, even though he's 6'1", like I mentioned, I do like his upside. And I think the only reason why he could go late first or early second isn't because of his talent, because I think he's still raw. I think he's got upside, but it's going to take a few years. It's because of how much money he'd make the G League team. Yes. Sold out stadiums, jerseys, everything. I mean, you're drafting the guy that is like basically going to be the Caitlin Clark of the G League. I'm dead serious. So that's why I think teams would consider him, you know, in a weak draft toward the end of the first round and early second, which is why I say the Lakers need to trade up from, 50, whatever they have, 40. I don't know what their second round pick is. Yeah. They need to get one if they don't have one. I haven't even checked. I'm only focused on 17. But the Pelicans know that there's going to be pressure on the Lakers to take him at 17, which is why they're going to give them this draft pick and not take it next year, because they're like, they're screwed either way, the Lakers. So we're just going to, and then next year's a better draft. So they're just going to give them their pick this year and take next year's. Again, that would be the only thing, the G League, the money, even if the Lakers, I mean, he's going to be on the South Bay Lakers. So, yeah, I mean, there's exactly. No doubt about that. He's not playing in the NBA next year.
No, and what people don't realize is that the Lakers G League team used to play their games at Staples Center when they built their practice facility. The team move there. And again, that makes sense. But you will see some of the South Bay Lakers, their G League team. There's no reason why you shouldn't play some games either at the Galen Center or Staples Center or something like that. We have the perfect example tonight at Crypto.com Arena. Again, the Sparks opened up their season at the Pyramid in Long Beach, which seats about 5,000. They are near sold out for tonight's game. Caitlin Clark is going to be in town. That is the Bronny James effect. And Brandon, I want you to touch on this. For those who question this, the fact that the USC men's basketball team sold out the Galen Center for like Long Beach State and some of these other games, we've been there where, they can't attract flies. So the Bronny James effect is real.
It is real. And we've been there when they had Mobley and they still couldn't sell out half the stadium.
Yeah.
And this was their Elite Eight team. Mm-hmm. People just, the Galen Center is never packed, really. I mean, in the UCLA games, it's always packed.
Exactly. But
with Bronny on the team, it attracted everybody. Everyone wanted to be there. Everyone wanted to be there just in case LeBron showed up or just in case Bronny did something crazy. It's going to be all on media platforms. It is a Caitlin Clark type effect. So, I mean, again, I think the Galen Center is a perfect place for the South Bay Lakers to play if Bronny's there. Crypto's difficult, although it's less difficult next year, right? Because the Clippers are not going to be playing at Crypto. So it's kind of like a perfect, maybe they play a few games at Crypto. I don't know if Bronny can sell out all of Crypto with the South Bay Lakers, but he could sell out at least half to 60, 70% of that stadium if he's getting serious minutes, because people are really, there's that legacy thing with LeBron. The media is going to be going nuts over this. Yeah. And then also, people want to see his development. It's going to be a huge topic of conversations, right? So that's why I think he could sell out at least 60% of Crypto, but definitely all of Galen.
And to your point, I mean, these are tickets sold for a game that no one would normally go to. Again, you watch these South Bay Lakers games, and these games are held at their practice facility. So there's a couple hundred people there, if that. No one's buying those jerseys. People will buy South Bay Lakers jerseys with Bronny James. They'll go to those games. Again, this is all they're not making $1 million per game, but if it's sold out, they could. So we'll see how that all plays out. From a business perspective, as you mentioned, it makes sense. Switching gears to the postseason, game two of the Eastern Conference Finals was last night. The Celtics take a 2-0 lead. we've joked about this, but this is really the case. I mean, this will be the easiest pathway, cakewalk to the NBA Finals. Now Tyrese Halliburton is probably going to be out. If he tries to play, he won't be himself with the hamstring, tweaked his hamstring. Your thoughts on this series? Are we looking at a sweep here?
It's possible. I mean, if Tyrese is hurt, for sure. But I mean, the Pacers should have won game one. They were in game two until Halliburton got hurt. They haven't lost at home yet. So if Halliburton is healthy, Pacers are, I think, will win one at home at least. I mean, I think it's a 5-game series. Could be 4. Again, I'm starting to think I'm more inclined to believing, you know, the Celtics are beatable, though, the more I watch them play. I mean, they're a very beatable team. I think Dallas or Minnesota could beat them. I don't think it's out of the realm. I mean, Dallas just continues to defy odds. No one gave them a chance against Minnesota. And that's a team that just continues to, you know, be excellent. And when you have, I mean, Arash, you know, you've seen a lot of great duos in your time covering sports. When you have a team that was first in defensive rating since they got PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford, and then you keep games close because of your defense, and you have Luka and Kyrie at the end of games to go win you games, we're getting to the point where they could be close to unbeatable when they're on their game. And I know we talked about this months ago. I said they would be in the Western Conference Finals, Dallas, and they're the sleeper to go to the championship out of the West. I said this 2-3 months ago, just because when they went on that win streak after their trades they made, Luka and Kyrie, you give them a defense, just like LeBron. When you've given LeBron a defense, he does a lot with it, right? Like, it's the same thing with Luka. That's a team that I feel like could beat Minnesota, and if they do, will be the least favored, or like the opposite. The Celtics would be the most heavily favored team in NBA championship history if they played Dallas. So, and I would take Dallas money line in that series for the series price.
Game two of the Western Conference Finals tonight. Again, we were together for game one, but back and forth from the opening tip. Dallas wins game one, kind of a must-win game for Minnesota, in terms of, like, you certainly don't want to lose the first two games at home. What have you thought about that series? And did your thoughts change following game one?
No, I thought it was always going to be 6-7 game series. Yeah. Minnesota is going to cover for sure tonight. I don't think it, you know, I think the line's 5. I think they kind of blow them out a little bit. They know the stakes. We've seen blowouts haven't mattered this postseason. No. Like, they haven't at all. Like, the Nuggets got blown out and then they were at 25 at halftime to Minnesota in game 7, right? Like, we knew that was going to happen, Arash. We talked about that. Like, it's about momentum. Dallas already won their game. They're going to play with less intensity than Minnesota. It's a must-win game. If Minnesota goes down 0-2 to doubt, they are screwed. Screwed, screwed, screwed. They are done. Because Dallas will win one at home. You could lock it in. So, I mean, if Minnesota, I expect Minnesota to win this game. I still expect it to go 6-7 games. I think if Dallas wants to win, it's probably in 6. And if Minnesota wants to win, it's probably going to have to be in 7.
Let's close out with the Lakers coaching search again. And that will probably continue through the finals, or we may hear about something during the finals. Again, Sam Cassell is up for the job as well. I think you said, I'll get your thoughts now. I mean, the J.J. Redick thing came out of nowhere, but a lot of people out there think that he will be a very good head coach one day. I think you are one of them. Why do you think J.J. would succeed here?
I think he's one of the smartest basketball minds there is. Look, the Pat Riley comparisons are a little far-fetched. Yeah. Like, he's one of the best coaches of all time.
Can I just add that? Because you bring this up. Like, people have to remember, Pat didn't just go from being a broadcaster. Again, he was the color commentator along with Chick Hearn. His first role was to be the main assistant head coach for Paul Westhead. They won a championship. Again, back in those days. And if
Paul got hurt and...
I mean, they only had one assistant. So it was basically, and then he didn't even get the head coaching job the following year. Jerry West and him were like co-head coaches. He had a pathway towards becoming this amazing head coach. JJ would really truly go from the broadcast booth to a head coach. But
and I think that's fine. Like, I think he's one of those guys who could defy the odds of, you know, inexperience because of how smart he is. I also think it's important to have someone who's cool with LeBron. Like, Channing, Channing Frye said like JJ shouldn't accept this job. It's an S show. And then there was some other athlete who was like, oh yeah, hiring Reddick's going to suck. Cause people are like, is LeBron and Reddick going to just do podcasts after the game? Like, this is ridiculous. Like, it's going to be an S show, but I think it would be a decent hire. I think you have to take risks if you want to win championships. How about this? Like, you know, dang well, Borrego can't out coach Mike Malone or any of those guys.
Yeah.
How do we know JJ Redick can't? We've never seen it. So I think the Lakers are at a point where they need to take risks, and this is fine with me. I mean, I would have loved Norrie's probably a good option too. Adelman from Denver would probably be more suited, but Redick would be, I think it would help for media purposes. I think it'd be great. I think he's charismatic. He's smart. He's been in the booth. I think it would just be, I wouldn't say it's a home run hire, but I think it definitely is a hire with upside if they end up going in that direction.
It's a great point because we don't know how good he could be. I mean, he could be
horrible. He could be Steve Nash.
But guess what?
Yeah. But Steve Nash, if Kevin Durant's foot is just the behind the line, we're having a whole different conversation about Steve Nash as a head coach, right? So like, he wasn't as bad as people think. Brooklyn was just a Nash show.
And I think Steve Kerr is probably the better example because Steve Kerr was in the broadcast booth. He was on TNT. And if I'm not mistaken, I mean, you know, he wasn't someone's like assistant coach. He just got the head coaching job. So, really quick before we close, I mean, what does the new coach need to do? Because I think we both thought the talent that the Lakers had this past season was good enough for them to be a top four seed, at least good enough for them to not be in the play-in tournament, good enough for them to be in the Western Conference Finals. What does the if they essentially bring back this group and maybe they tweak it some, but what does this next coach, whether it's JJ Redick or someone else, what is the biggest key or keys that this coach has to do?
Well, Russell's gone, so I don't think they re-sign Russell. He's going to opt out of his player option. That's huge. They cannot be an offensive team. We saw too many times the Lakers this past year were flip-flopping. Great offense, horrible defense, great defense. They need to be defensive-oriented. Look at Minnesota. Minnesota had the 17th-ranked offense, and their defense is elite. Now, they're not going to have nearly the perimeter or interior guys Minnesota has, but they need another big who can supplement AD. We saw when the Lakers were most successful, it was Davis and Howard when Howard was still good. They need AD at the four and someone at the five to supplement him. They need a couple perimeter defenders in free agency and just hope guys can shoot. When they won the championship, they weren't a good shooting team, but they were an excellent defensive team. You give a defense with LeBron. I know you want to give him shooters, but the problem is, guys are borderline unplayable if they can shoot and they can't play defense. In this NBA, you need to play defense to win championships. That's their path. I don't know if Redick can coach defense. Seems like a guy that could probably coach offense. Maybe he can. He's smart. I don't know. But they need to be defensive oriented, especially with how old LeBron is. And Davis is the guy's been injured more times than, you can't expect him to play 76 games. Knock on wood, hopefully he does again. But I mean, come on, he's going to miss more time probably next season. You have to have a guy who really emphasizes the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, the defense, and you've talked about this for years, that's the key. I mean, like, if you can't shoot, as long as you can defend, you're going to be in these games. You're going to be competitive. The other thing that I want them to do is not sign a player who's going to miss 70 games.
No Miami Heat players. Come on now. No. We're not. Martin is not a Lake. No, get him out of there. Caleb Martin would turn into the worst player in the league if he was on the Lakers.
So there's this track record. So please do not sign any Miami Heat players. God bless the Heat culture. God bless Eric Spoelstra, but definitely don't need that. Brandon, you're the best. We will have you back on next week. That is all the time we have for today. Let's do it again on Monday. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.